everything in between. The best variety is right here on the OmniSound Radio 1 Network.
Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Bonnie.
And I'm John.
Our all-star lineup, as I've been calling it tonight. I got to thank you guys, everybody sitting in the room right now, for kind of hanging out and coming in here and keeping me company tonight, because it would have been a very lonely night doing this radio show, I think, if I didn't have you guys coming out here to hang out with me, so I really appreciate it. We actually have, Amber Rose is on the floor doing
meditating,
her,
it looks like.
Moving back and forth very quickly. And Tom Matt's back here, too, from GLPR. He's hanging out also. So we have, a whole, lounge thing going right now. This is, really cool. We got, just people just hanging out and whatnot. Did we get that ashtray? Yeah, I need the ashtray. We need an ashtray. What? What's going on?
You go.
All right, cool. All right. Basically, what's been going on, like I said before break here, this week I was kind of figuring out what we were going to do for this show. And I got this interesting email concerning a show called X-Ops, and a lot of you guys out there, I think, are going to be familiar with that because it's a show that Heidi was talking about. Heidi Hollis, a really good friend of the show here, was talking about, and that she is a part of, all right? She was actually part of the taping of this, and she is one of the people that's part of the X-Ops team. And the idea was for this show was they wanted to put together, from what I understand, they wanted to put together a documentary-style show, right? Whereas, and, we've all seen the X-Files and stuff like that, right?
Right.
We've all seen the X-Files. I mean, yeah, we have these amazing stories, these incredible stories. But these guys, there's a lot of stuff going on out there, and we all know there's all types of stuff going on out there. And the X-Ops team wanted to go out there and really do, a real show. Unfortunately, I have to say, a lot of the shows that are out there, a lot of these documentary-type-style shows, they seem to get watered down. Every time we see one of these, it seems to get watered down. The people are made out to be crazy, all these types of things. And the X-Ops team came in to this project with the idea that, no, they were going to do a real show, a show that would have some real substance, where they would talk to people without any type of objective viewpoint, more or less. Well, Heidi told us about this when she was on the show last time. And we were really excited for her, and of course, Heidi, if you've ever heard Heidi on the show before, she pretty much travels all over the world. She's probably one of the busiest people we know in the business, and we were really excited for her when she said she was going to be part of the show. Well, I got this email this week, this really strange email, for something called the X-Ops Protest, let's call it that. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of read you a little blurb from this thing that I have, and then we're going to discuss this some more and see if there's some way we can help these guys out, because this is a real problem, you know. The airing of X-Ops, after much praise by the CEOs of Discovery, was supposed to take place the first of the year, of this year. Well, it's obviously almost the end of May, right?
It's a little late.
Yeah, okay. After a long delay and no communications with the staff of X-Ops, the CEO at Discovery in charge of producing this show has vanished from the face of the earth. I am pretty familiar with that kind of stuff. I'm pretty familiar with that. Even trying to contact her at home or through known associates has been to no avail. A new team of CEOs came into Discovery and demanded that the X-Ops team ridicule and diminish the people making these claims at Roswell and each other if the show is to air. So more or less what they were saying, let's just put this in English, they're basically saying, take somebody who has this incredible story that they firmly believe in their mind is they saw something, they want to tell somebody, and basically call them an idiot, call them crazy, call them stupid and stuff like that. That's what they wanted them to do. Right, and we've heard this before. We've heard the same MO before with a lot of shows that have come on to any of the big stations. Whatever you have your 2, 4, and 7. That's what my mom and dad used to call them back in the day. 2, 4, and 7. Then you have your cable channels also. Okay. They demanded the show be re-edited and watered down to charge the apparent, well, to change the appearance of the results and diminish the claims of the group. They demanded also that at least one member of the X-Ops team ridicule the rest of the group.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like a nice show.
The team said no and stood by the results they had captured and documented with high-resolution video cameras and scientific instrumentals while the events were happening as is supported by the Discovery camera crew who were there. They were told by the new Discovery Channel CEOs, since they did not comply with the show, the best they could hope for was to be watered down, was to be a watered down series and to be turned into a vacation promo for the Travel Channel. Okay. So basically what happened here is another case of the bait and switch for people who've been working in this field for a number of years, like Heidi, who's sitting on the phone waiting patiently for me right now. We're talking about a team of people who were bait. In my opinion, it was the bait and switch. These people were told one thing, and then as soon as the button came down for them to actually go into production and edit this show, well, now we want you to dumb it down. Because the American public, again, they're too dumb to handle something like this. Mm-hmm. I don't know where, and I'm not, I don't want to turn this into a huge rant, but I don't know where these people, I don't know who these people are either.
Apparently we all need light and fluffy.
Do they think we're that dumb? What can't you handle? Why is it that, we've been talking about this, it seems to me that we are in this generation now, and I'm calling it the reality TV generation. Unfortunately, everything has to be based in reality, which seems to be based in more irreality. I'm going to call it that, too.
Yeah.
More irreality than real life is. Because, I think real people don't care that much about people's personal affairs. Obviously, our friends at Discovery wanted to ridicule one of them. They wanted to oust somebody from the team. Why? I don't know. We're going to ask. Maybe Heidi was that person they were going to oust, too. Who knows? I don't know. Let's find out. Let's see if Heidi is on the line and ready. Heidi, are you there?
I'm here. I'm ready.
You are there. Okay, cool. And I got to train you up. Have you been hearing me rant about this thing so far?
I've been listening to you ranting, yes.
Well, I called you earlier this week, and I'm like, Heidi, I read this thing. I'm infuriated about it. I talked to Doug about it, and Doug was like, oh, yeah, let's definitely have her on. This is really important. And basically, am I correct in my claims of what kind of happened here?
You're pretty close in your claims there, but it's hard to understand exactly what took place because it seemed like there are a lot of different things happening in regards to what was going to be approved on and what wasn't, and I'm not even fully clear on absolutely all of the things that Discovery was looking for.
Well, one thing before we go any further, Heidi, and I told you this on the phone, and I'm going to say it here on the air because this is a real show. If I ask you a question that you can't answer, just say it, okay?
Okay,
this is a serious issue, and I know there's certain things legally that you can't talk about, so just say it. Scott, shut your hole. I don't want to tell you that. Feel free. It's no problem.
Please say it just like that.
Can I? Really? All right. Cool.
But basically, this is what I read, and that's how I interpreted it, Heidi. I'm like, you guys were told one thing, and now they're doing something completely different now.
Yeah, one thing that I think is always a pattern with paranormal programs is that, and unlike any other program that's out there or documentary, is they have to have somebody that's like putting down absolutely everything you found. And we weren't going for that. The production crew, Jim Castle, headed by Jim Castle, he was sticking true to, letting us experience what it was we were experiencing. And, that can be okay for every other show, but when it comes to the paranormal, it seems like they want to always interject, that person going bah humbug or something on the other side. And we didn't have that. We're just like, let people interpret for themselves. And I guess people are not allowed to fully interpret for themselves when it comes to the paranormal, but I don't know what it is and why that is, but, do you guys find that? It's like you're watching something really cool, you're seeing all the facts and figures, and you're seeing cool photos of UFOs, and then there's that one person that goes, well, that could be, doctored.
Well, I have no problem with different opinions. I don't think anybody who studies the paranormal should have a problem with different opinions. You're going to hear all types of different viewpoints. You take one photo. Let's take, for example, the top of the year, Heidi. We had one of the shows we call them the focus photo discussion. Somebody sends us a photo that just totally blows us away, right? And we bring these people on, we put the photo up on the site, and we discuss the photo itself, right? And looking at this photo, it's a fascinating photo, for example. I'm not going to go into the detail and tell you where it's all at and what it's all about, but it was a fascinating photo. And we had a lot of viewpoints that night that went back and forth for people who were for it, people who were against it. That's totally cool. I think what the problem happens is, and we hear this from all types of, we're in the media here at Ghostly Talk, obviously. You're in the media just being Heidi Hollis, being yourself, right? You're all over the place. You've been happening for years, right? And I think you're going to have these different viewpoints. That's totally cool. I think it's how it's presented that's the problem with these TV stations. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, it's true. And I also like the way that you know, when it comes to some of the other programs on the paranormal, that there are a matter of opinions that people have, varying opinions, which we are open to, is hearing about other people's opinions. Mm-hmm. But there's something that always seems a little bit demeaning about the opposite and the opposing forces of the opinions on when it comes to topics of the paranormal.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a little bit, sharper on the decline to me that I've observed anyway. But
I know exactly.
I like to take your opinion.
Well, yeah. I know exactly what you're saying, though, Heidi. I mean, let's present this information, let's present this documentation,
right,
and have people judge for themselves what they think it is.
Right. Exactly. Just leave it open.
Here's the thing with that, Heidi. Excuse me. We both know. What the TV stations have a problem with that for? Because it isn't that dramatic. It's like, okay, look, here is the evidence, right? Here's what we recorded. Here's what we took pictures of. Here's what we picked up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Take a look at it and tell us what you think. That's a pretty simple formula. I like it myself. That's kind of the formula Ghostly Talk runs on, right? We just put stuff out there, and you can decide for yourself whether you think it's you think it's nuts, or you think it's amazing, or you think if it changes your life, whatever it is, that's the way it is. And I know that's how you guys went into this project too. Was let's put this information out there, and let the people decide what they think about it.
Right. I think that's the best way to go. I mean, we can't dictate to people what it is that they can and cannot see. I don't think that's the best way to go about things. And if we do need to have any kind of rating placed on the program, I don't see why that would be a problem at all, What would the warning be at the beginning of the show?
Well, yeah.
I don't, It's like if you need a warning to be allowed to watch such a thing, okay, fine. But I don't get it.
Well, what's the warning going to be? Okay, here's the warning.
Yeah.
You have to think when you watch this show.
There you go. I like that
this
one.
This could open your mind a little.
This might make you have to, use a couple of brain cells to try to process this, as opposed to having somebody decide it for you before the show's over with.
Right.
That's the biggest problem, and I think that's what the point is, and that's what you guys have a problem with the X-Ops team, is just that. You don't want to try to decide this for people. Let's try to find out, let the people who watch this show, who are nice enough to watch this show, and take it in, decide for themselves. Let's not decide for them. And I can say with full confidence, because I've seen a million of them, whether it be ghosts or with UFOs or even with cryptozoology programs that I've seen, there is that deciding factor where, okay, well, here's the picture. And then you have the professional step in and go, oh, this can't be real. This guy photoshopped this, and he put that picture in there. And then by the time the show's over with, it just depends on how the information is presented, I think.
The editing of the show, too.
Well, yeah, the editing's a big thing. And, I mean, I'm nervous to ask you questions about this, Heidi. Was that something you guys got into with them, was how they were going to edit the show?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Well, my question is, did they tell you, well, it's obvious that they told you, we want to do this a certain way. When the new CEO stepped in, when the other person just happened to conveniently disappear off the face of the earth, which is, I find that hysterical too, these people stepped in and said, okay, this is how we want to do the show. We want you guys to, I'm wondering if you guys actually got to that point where you were actually down in the studio editing the show out, and is that where the problems occurred? I mean, it possibly, I don't know.
Well, there seems to be that there was some kind of, I don't think there was any confusion, actually. I think that might be a bit of a scapegoat to say there was any kind of confusion as to what the show was going to propose to be.
Mm-hmm.
I think everything was clear-cut, out and open, easily to comprehend what it was that the producers were after.
Mm-hmm.
And it was agreed upon, of course, I mean, for Discovery to fund the project, you know, stand behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the CEO to leave the way that she did, I think that's where the problem incurred, because it doesn't, I mean, if you go into a crowded room, you could say 10, 20 people, you're going to find that maybe three of those people are actually, you know, totally into the paranormal and open to it. You'll find a lot more critics. So if you have, like, all of these CEOs, you know, that are left behind, you know, and the one that was, like, really pulling for it left
mm-hmm.
the room, you know, the other critics are left there to sit there and, you know, have a go at it and say, well, I don't believe in this stuff personally. And I know it was just a handful of people that were involved that honestly weren't really big into the kind of topic that we were trying to focus on.
But, well, that seems to be a problem, too, also. I mean, you, mm-hmm. you have a board of directors that come in on this. It seems like it would make the most sense that you'd have people that would have some type of passion for this come in there and direct this thing to make it happen the best way it can happen.
Well, that's who we had in place until, you know, she left the company. And then the rest of the skeptics were left there, you know, to have a go at it and say, well, I'm not into that. Are you into that? You know, I mean, that's what it feels like to me, but I'm not outright certain if that is exactly what took place. But
mm-hmm.
I do know it was only a handful that made the decision to, you know, pretty much
hack it.
Well, not exactly yank the plug on everything. You know, they're still in discussions on it, but it's not looking really good right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, just out of curiosity, how many people were on this team again? I mean, this is a big team you guys had assembled for this show.
Well, we had 8 people, and then there was a 9th one, which was Jim Myers, who was pretty much also helping with production.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he was also the head of how the show was set up. There were 8 investigators. We all had a different specialties. There were ghost hunters. There were 2 psychics, UFO field investigators, crop circle investigators. Let's see, conspiracy theorists, myself, an experiencer, and advocate for people's experiences involving the paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
And what they would do is present a topic for us to go out and investigate anywhere in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the topic that we went to go and investigate, the initial program was for aliens haunting Roswell,
mm-hmm.
Different aspects of the military base that was down there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went down there, checked it out, got a lot of interesting things on footage, and also picked up some interesting electronic anomalies. But essentially, we went down, we experienced a lot of interesting things and want to share it with everybody,
mm-hmm.
but we did notice that we were being a little bit tracked by state troopers down there or whatever. We saw them in the distance kind of keeping an eye on us.
They're going to give you a speeding ticket or something?
What's that?
They're going to give you a speeding ticket or something?
No, but we noticed that they were watching us, you know, and we're like, okay, you know, we're just going to do our thing still anyways. But we're like, oh, I wonder if they'd give us any issues. And who knows? For all we know, they, you know, they had a little bit of input. And
yeah, maybe they were just curious. Maybe they were just curious. I'm thinking maybe they, well, there's this whole camera crew out there along with probably tons of equipment being set up. I mean, maybe they were just checking it out. I mean, I that seems logical.
Right.
I mean, now if they were there like grilling you guys, it might be a different story.
It's logical, but I mean, you know, we're tapping into, once again, you know, the government and their cover ups.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows? Maybe they didn't like what we were doing, and maybe some people got bullied to take it off the air or something. Who knows? You know, it's all speculation about what's going on in the minds of the people that are able to put this on or not. But we're still pulling for it, you know, hoping that other people stand behind it and
mm-hmm.
maybe see this go through, if anything, at least a pilot, so people can, you know, take in what it is that we found, because it's a new insight into the Roswell incident.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that's never been covered. And, I mean, to experience what we experienced, I mean, it's not the typical scenario that you hear coming out of Roswell. I mean, I have seen a lot of specials on Roswell.
Mm-hmm.
I have never seen psychics go down there and see what they could feel out, and then to have other folks around, you know, with their equipment trying to see what the psychics are pointing out. So it was, I mean, very interesting combination. And with all of us having the types of backgrounds that we do, it was really unique.
Well, I was going to say, you guys assembled, one heck of a team. I mean, as far as, you went through it already, I mean, as far as all your degrees of, your fields of study and what each one of you do. And that's a big melting pot you're talking about right there. Put all those people in one area. And trouble.
What's that?
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I just got a copy of the program myself, and I just watched it yesterday. And, I was there. I saw everything going on, but there was some footage that I didn't get a chance to get a look at to see exactly what they got on video.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, I was leaning into the screen, let me see what happens next, because I had no idea what the heck everything that they absolutely covered and captured, because there's so much stuff that the video can pick up that the eye can't pick up.
And well,
it was just, there's something that we caught on video that I've never seen anywhere before.
Can we talk about it? We can't talk about it, can we?
Well, it would be a really good one to lead up to get the opportunity to see that when and if it does air on Discovery Channel, because I honestly have not seen anything quite like it, but I will say that it incurred around where we were kind of sort of doing a seance of sorts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and really, really freaky stuff. I don't know. I mean, it's a visual that you won't find anyplace else.
Well, there's something going on, and this is kind of how I found out about what was going on with this and got in contact with you, Heidi. There is what they call, and I said this at the top and, at the bottom of the hour, there is this thing called it was at the top of the hour. I said my sense of time is totally off right now. There is this thing called the XOps protest that they're working on right now. And if you want to go to this, right now I think they only have a MySpace page for this. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give that URL out. It's should I do Doug style or my style?
Do it your style.
Do it my style? Okay.
Yes.
It is www.myspace.com. Boy, if you've never been there before, I mean.
Then you're living in a cave.
You're myspace.com /xprotest. So xprotest. If you go to that, you can. I'm sure if you have a MySpace account like everybody else in the country right now, you should be able to add that person as your friend and then post your comments about this. And there's a ton of information on this page, though, too. I mean, there's lots of information on there. There's videos up there, too, that you can watch with Jim Mars, I believe, too, Heidi. I think there's one of the videos with Jim Mars where he was talking about kind of being harassed by people concerning this special you guys were working on. You were just talking about when you were filming that there was some state troopers looking at you, but apparently there's a lot more going on than even that. There were, I believe Jim was one of the people who was actually being questioned by people after this thing was done being filmed.
Oh, wonderful. I hadn't read up on what took place with Jim concerning that, so that's something I should check out myself.
Here's the website.
Here's
the website again, Heidi, if you want. I'll give it to you this time.
I'll be able to check it out, no problem. But the thing is, mm-hmm. I mean, because Jim was part of he was like helping with the production and the process and everything behind it, so he was, part of the brawn behind the project too, so mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised that he was getting harassed.
I heard on Coast to Coast that he was talking about the XOP in one of the episodes mm-hmm. that you can't get into, so I know what you guys had seen and what you guys were talking about. He was a little vocal.
He was vocal. Wow. Okay. Well, we're not going to do that here.
No.
I don't want to ruin the surprise. I want to see the show too, Heidi.
Yeah, I hear you. I know. I'm hoping other people do because I'm, we've been going out and promoting this show so much and millions of people have heard about it already and they're all anticipating it and they're like, when's it coming? When's it coming?
Mm-hmm.
Only to get this, kind of shoulder shrug, like, I don't know what's going on, All of a sudden, it's like, we don't know what the deal is, and if there's any kind of problem. Something that one of the producers of the show told me was, usually, you send in the show, the network says, could you, do a little bit of this, do a little bit of that to balance things out, and they make adjustments, but that didn't take place, that it was a peculiar kind of situation that, they sent it in, and just kind of were like, well, don't know about that.
How long were you guys working on this thing for, approximately? I know this has been worked on for a while. How long were you guys actually filming it?
We only took a week to film,
uh-huh.
and we did that in November of last year. And the production company got everything pretty much squared away. I believe by February they got all the cuts and everything done and organized for to present to the network. So, I mean, they've just pretty much just been waiting, you know, put on hold, you know, wondering what's going on because we were told we'd already be, you know, getting going on the next episode.
Mm-hmm. So the pilot's done, though. The pilot is in the can.
Pilot is done.
It's in the can. We're waiting for it to come on now, and now there's a problem with that. That's basically what's going on here now, which is really lame because I really want to see you on TV, Heidi. I really want to see you on TV. I really. You've been a friend of the show for so long. I mean, I can't remember the first. I mean, I think it's either it's between you and Vance West and someone else. I know it's between you and Vance West for most appearances on Ghostly Talk right now. You guys are kind of like neck and neck right now. Oh, yeah. We've had both of you on a bunch of times, and it's for a reason, though. We love talking to you, and there's always some very interesting stuff that you're working on or experiencing, and I think it would just be phenomenal to see this show myself. I mean, that's why we wanted to have you come on today and discuss this, because I think it's really important. I want to see everybody who listens to this show go to the X-Op, this X-Op's Protest. Thank you very much. I want you guys to go to this page, www.myspace.com/xprotest, X-P-R-O-T-E-S-T. I think it's really important that this show gets done. I think we need to see this. I mean, all this time, you think, you know, I know for the people, I'm sure, at Discovery, especially the CEOs who work there, it's numbers to them like it is to anybody else. It's just numbers to them. It's time and money that's being spent and used. I don't think they see, unfortunately, I think it's pretty obvious, they don't see the importance that this could have to the paranormal community.
Right.
Not only that, the amount of people it could bring to their station. I mean, how popular are paranormal shows right now?
Well, they're very popular.
Huge. They're tops now. And, you know, there's another place that people can write in at. I believe it's discovery.com, where you can put your thoughts and opinions about their programming. And people have been posting on there as well, and they do get letters and returns sometimes from Discovery Channel saying why it is they chose not to air the program.
I believe that's actually on that on this page of that the MySpace page. I think I remember
there
seeing
a
that.
Link there then
there's,
too?
There's a link there also, and we're going to have a link up on our site too. Also, you know, obviously along with this archive, so people can kind of like work with both of them. And I want to see everybody go there and check this thing out. I want you to voice your opinion about this. I want to see people. I want to see something change here. I want to see. This show air. I just want to see Heidi.
Yeah.
I want to see Heidi on TV.
You guys are in our corner. I was so happy to get your call. I was like, yeah, this is good. This is a good thing.
Right.
I mean, if we had more people like you, you know, just backing, you know, supporting each other in the paranormal community. I mean, to get the word out there, you know, this stuff is considered so, you know, rare or unique. But, you know, there are more and more people out there that are truly interested in these topics.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't get the word out there enough to get the support behind, you know, what the public wants and what they're interested in. And I think it's very cool that you guys came forward to help support the show. It's very nice of you.
Well, we're going to keep doing that, too. I know we're going to have other people from the X-Ops team coming on the show here in the next couple of months or whatnot, or weeks or whatever.
Yeah.
Wherever we can squeeze them into the schedule at, we'll have them come on and talk more about it and probably have you come back on and talk about it some more, too, Heidi.
Yeah,
definitely. We always love having you on, Heidi, and thanks again. Hang on the line for 1 second. We're going to take a quick break here again. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Bonnie.
And I'm John.
And Tom's hanging out. There's Tom, too.
Tom.
Tom's hanging out here, too. We'll be right back after this.
I'm Clyde Lewis, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
Please note, this article written by Scott L. of Ghostly Talk in 2003 was intended for satirical and entertainment purposes only within the paranormal community.
Welcome to Scott L.'s Guide to Finding the Right Ghost Hunting and Paranormal Research Group for you.
Hey there, guys. And if you're not guys, that would probably make you girls. So hello, guys and girls. A lot of people ask me, Scott L., how can I get myself into an active ghost hunting group that goes on hunts, does research, and basically be as cool as you? Well, there's a lot to that. There are a lot of things you want to look at and observe before you sign your soul over to the certified nutjob or full-blown crack addict who elected himself president of the club you are pledging yourself to. The best thing to do is go on a ghost hunt with the group you are interested in and see what they are all about, so to say. Here are some things you want to look for. Number one. As an observer, the first thing you want to note of is the group's leadership. Watch how the self-appointed president treats the other members. Here's what you want to look for in a good leader. A. The group president is in control of everything. No one else can have any delegated job of any significance. This is the president's vision, so no input is needed from anyone. B. Make sure he treats the vice president like complete garbage. Also make sure he treats anyone who helps him out in starting his, quote, business, end quote, like complete garbage. That way you know he takes no garbage, and the group is run like a pirate ship full of transvestites in a hurricane. C. The group president does not put in for gas money. He has all of his money invested in the group's website costs, t-shirts, and borrowed computer from Rent-A-Center to build the group's website anyways. Look for these things and you can be confident that you will be joining a group with flawless leadership and no skeletons to find out about in the future. Number two. Everything you see and hear is a ghost, without a doubt. You want to belong to a group that has already decided before they put their foot in a cemetery that the afterlife is real. Number three. Carrying on rule number two, when you see or hear a ghost, you want to make sure that everyone you are with, including the people driving by the cemetery, know that you saw or heard one. So let them know in the most dramatic way possible. This will convince them that there is a ghost and a million flashes will off at the same time, blinding and killing any forest animals within a 10-mile radius. Number four. Remember, this is a serious investigation. Things are going to need to be organized and quiet. So bring as many people as possible. You see, if there is a group of 25 people giggling, smoking cigarettes, and talking about how scared they are at the top of their lungs, the ghost will try to be louder to get your attention and possibly manifest themselves as an apparition in front of you. Number five. Make sure all of the members bring their cell phones with them to call their friends at the keg party they are missing to say, "You won't believe where I'm at right now." Number six. There is only one kind of flashlight. Million candle illuminators. These are the only thing to use in a place of rest and serenity, such as a cemetery. Remember, if you can't land a helicopter with it, you can't ghost hunt with it. Number seven. Make sure when going out on an adventurous night of ghost hunting that everyone attending drives separately. This way, when the police drive by the cemetery you are investigating at 1 in the morning and see a sight resembling Joe's used car lot, they are assured that the group has assembled to guard the cemetery from evil wrongdoers who wish to come in the cemetery for a night of urinating on, licking, and humping the tombstones located there. If you watch closely for these things while pledging different ghost hunting groups, rest assured, you will find yourself in a world-class investigation unit, worthy of global attention for outstanding documentation and ethics in paranormal investigations. So with that, good luck and good hunting from your friend and probably your boyfriend, Scott L.
Prophecy Night, Part 2. Ghostly Talk Paranormal Talk Show will make history again on Sunday, June 25th from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Be sure to tune in on Sunday, June 25th with our prophecy panel.
Jill Dane.
Scott Christensen.
Tattel.
Miss Deborah Graham.
Derek White Skycloud.
Victor Baines,
and Homie 3.
It will be a night to remember on Sunday, June 25th from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on Ghostly Talk with Prophecy Night Part 2.
For a few minutes.
Just a little.
We're figuring it out. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Bonnie.
And I'm John.
And Tom's hanging out here. We have the all-star lineup tonight, my all-star team that I assembled, especially my elite squad. I had come in here as ninjas and take care of the program for me and help keep me from putting my fist through one of the winery walls here. We don't want to do that. So thanks, guys, again, for hanging out and keeping me company and keeping me. Because it had been a very, like I said, a very lonely night here by myself, just talking to myself, more or less. I've done it before. There was one show I did that, like this about maybe 3.5 years ago. It was a show where Will and Doug and Karma, when she was still with the show, they all went up to,
Heike's Tomb.
Heike's Tomb, thank you. And I was just kind of like left with the show to do it on my own. And it was a fun night, but unfortunately I didn't know how to use Simplecast at the time, and I didn't get the archive of it. I think it's gone. Maybe Jeff over at Pioneer might have a copy of it hiding in a server somewhere, but it was like one show I did for 2 hours where we talked about Oak Island, actually, for a while. I don't know if you've ever heard about it. You ever heard about Oak Island?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, it was actually a really interesting conversation. I just had people popping up in the chat room telling me, hey, talk about this. I'm like, okay, let me look it up. All right, let's talk about this. And I read the thing off. Speaking of reading stuff, I actually, you know, one thing I don't, you know, Doug or myself, we don't mention this very often, but we need to thank all the people that send us stuff to the P.O. Box. We have this really cool P.O. Box now. And people have been sending us stuff in piles. I go like once a week to like, you know, just check on it. And there's usually like about 14 keys sitting in there for other lockers. See, because the thing with the post office that cracks me up, you get a P.O. Box, right? And you have like 4 different sizes. You can get like the letter size, which is what ours is, right? And then you can get like, you know, the bigger size. Then you can get the bigger size. Then you can get like the one where you can fit like cars and stuff in, right? So it don't really make any sense to like go and blow all that money for a half a year or a year or whatever contract you sign, because even if you get a box that's too big for your appeal box, they just put a key in there for you to like go into the other locker and grab your stuff. So why do you spend all that money? We just get the little one, and people send us packages and stuff like that. In these packages they send to us, they send us, well, right now I have to pick a bunch of bands, first of all. I did receive them. We have to go through them. And a bunch of bands that are just sending us their CDs and stuff now to play on the show. So thank you for that also. We really appreciate that. And your music will be aired. Your music will be aired. We just have to review the CDs and stuff like that and then get it put into the playlist and all that fun stuff. One thing I also got this week, which was really cool, and I'm holding it in my hands, and I know everybody right now is salivating to get their hands on this copy, and it's the latest edition of Legendary Times. Legendary Times. If you guys remember, not too long ago, we had a gentleman named Giorgio Tsoukalos on the show, who is the chief editor of this magazine. And he was nice enough to send us a copy of this thing. I have to say, I was reading through this thing today at work, and I was just my jaw kept dropping on the pages, and I couldn't turn the pages because my jaw was sitting there, right? It was driving me completely crazy. And I found a really cool article in here, right? We got about a half an hour. We're going to blow this. I want to talk about this thing. I have to find it, though, because I lost my page.
Okay, well, while you're finding it.
Yeah, go ahead.
I will, when you're done with that, trade you my John Zaffis book for that.
Okay, all right, we can trade that
up.
Okay,
cool.
Yeah, John actually, you bought that off John when we were in Virginia. And he signed it for you, too,
yes,
didn't he?
Yes, he did.
He signed it for you also.
Yes, so did Mark Nesbitt. You Mark can't keep the book.
Well, why don't we put it in the Haunted Winery Library? We have the library for
all
this cool
stuff.
Well,
it's intended for the library anyway.
Well, yeah, that's where it's supposed to go.
All
right, okay, go ahead.
Did you find it?
I found it, yeah.
Okay, go.
Oh, you want me to read?
Yeah, go
Can I read? Can I slaughter this article?
Will you please?
there's in the beginning of the magazine, there's like a lot of short things, you know, and this I thought was really cool to talk about on the air a little bit. And in the science section they have for like these short things, there's this article in there that I found really fascinating, and it's titled New Model Permits Time Travel. And it's written by Juliana Kettlewell. Okay? And I'm going to blow through this thing. This is some really interesting stuff. If you went back in time and met your teenage parents, you could not split them up and prevent your birth. Even if you wanted to, a new quantum model has stated. Researchers speculate that time travel can occur within a kind of feedback loop where backwards movement is possible, but only in a way that is complementary to the present. You guys with me so far?
So no Back to the Future type stuff.
No, we're not going to like fade out.
Okay.
Okay. In other words, you can pop back in time and have a look around, but you cannot do anything that will alter the present you have left behind. The new model, which uses the laws of quantum mechanics, gets rid of the famous paradox surrounding time travel. Now, the next heading is Paradoxes Explained. Although the laws of physics seem to permit temporal gymnastics, the concept is laden with uncomfortable contradictions. The main headache stems from the idea that if you went back in time, you could theoretically do something to change the present, which we all know is a paradox, right? And that possibility messes up the whole theory of time travel. Clearly, the present never is changed by mischievous time travelers.
Oh, mischievous time traveler.
Okay. People don't suddenly fade into either because, you know, I'm sorry, they don't fade into the ether.
Mm-hmm.
As in, you know, the ether, whatever. I don't know what the ether is. Anybody know what the ether is exactly?
Nothingness.
Okay. Yeah, nothingness, something like that. Okay. They don't fade into the, I lost my place. Because a rerun of events has prevented their births. That much is obvious. So either time travel is not possible or something is actually acting to prevent any backward movement from changing the present. You with me so far?
Yep.
Okay cool. This is a lot of information. This is like, I mean, this these couple of paragraphs are just like really, this is a lot of information, I understand. For most of us, the former opinion might seem most likely, but Einstein's general theory of relativity leads some physicists to suspect the latter. According to Einstein, space-time can curve back on itself, theoretically allowing the travelers to double back and meet younger versions of themselves. And now a team of physicists from the U.S. and Austria say that, well, that this situation can only be the case if there are physical constraints acting to protect the presence from changes in the past. So basically what they're saying is you can't change the future by going back in time. You can't create a paradox. It doesn't work that way. And it does kind of follow the idea, and we've had Bill Nell on a couple of times who's talked about the Philadelphia experiment, which ironically we're going to be talking about some more in the next hour with Ron Million, which is going to be really, I'm really excited about that too. Going on though, weird laws. The researchers say these constraints exist because of the weird laws of quantum mechanics, even though traditionally they don't account for a backwards movement in time. Quantum behavior is governed by probabilities. Before something has actually been observed, there are a number of possibilities regarding its state. But once its state has been measured, those possibilities shrink to one. Kind of like playing poker. Same type of thing, probabilities, stuff like that. Uncertainty is limited. It's eliminated at that time. Obviously, it's been down to one outcome. So, if you know the present, turn the page. I'm just not that slick. So, if you know the present, you cannot change it. If, for example, you know your father is alive today, the laws of quantum universe state that there is no possibility of him being killed in the past. It is as if in some strange way, the present takes account of all the possible routes back into the past, and because your father is certainly alive, none of the routes back can possibly lead to his death. That's a mouthful, I know. That's a total mouthful. And now this is in quotes. I don't know how I can do this voice. I don't know who's actually, well, let's see who's, Dan Greenberger, Cindy O'Kane. Okay, he has to have a New York accent, so I'll try this. I can't do a New York accent.
Sopranos.
Well, you have to say a lot of F words and stuff like that. I can't
No, the accent, but not the F word.
Well, I'll just say, like, okay, quantum mechanics distinguishes between something that might happen and something that did happen. Professor Dan Greenberger of the City of the City University of New York, U.S., told the BBC News website, if we don't know your father is alive right now, if there is only a 90% chance that he is alive right now, then there is a chance that you can go back and kill him. But if you know he is alive, there is no chance you can kill him. I'm stopping there. I can't do any more. I want some thoughts on this from the people in this room. I mean, I know that was a lot to crank out real fast like that, but I mean, I'll start with this. Like I was saying a second ago, we've had our friend Bill Nell on the show a bunch of times, and we find him absolutely fascinating. The two times he's been on the show, he just left us blown away. I mean, and he was nice enough to send us out. We talked about this numerous times on the show. He sent us out the whole tape set of The Truth About the Philadelphia Experiment, which it's an absolute ride. I mean, this is something that is a pure informational source, period. This thing was recorded in 1989 in a house with just a few people sitting there talking, and
you have to keep playing it over and
over
again.
Yeah, yeah. You just have to keep playing it over and over again to take all this information in. So what they were saying, though, and the same question popped up with these gentlemen, too, and they said, okay, because with the Montauk experiments, for example, because the Philadelphia experiment and the Montauk experiments, they were related in some ways as far as time and space are concerned. In regards to Montauk, there were people that were able to psychically amplify themselves in a chair. They don't know how this chair came about. John, you know what I'm talking about.
Correct.
This could be alien material. These people didn't know. But they were able to psychically amplify their thoughts and create portals, which in essence they could travel time in. And that was the big question. They said, they're like, well, can you go back in time and change the past? Can you change things like that? And what they said is that once you go back to a certain time, what you've done is you've locked that particular time. Let's say we go from like 2006 right now. Let's say a portal opened up right next to me right now as I'm broadcasting this show, and I go, hey, that looks pretty cool. I'm going to walk through it. So I walk through it, right? And I go back to 2000, like this date on 2000, right? What I've done is I've locked that loop right there. That cannot be changed. Whatever has happened in that time, it could be, and it's obviously billions in trillions of outcomes and scenarios that happen within a six-year period, obviously, of all the things we do in our lives, that time is locked in. You cannot change that. It applies relatively to what we're talking about here in a way. I don't really know what as far as their opinion would be, is if you can actually, because what they're saying here is that in your thought, what Kathleen was saying here is that if you know that your father's alive, for example, if your father is alive, no matter what you do to go back in time, you cannot kill him. I don't know why you want to do that in the first place. It's kind of a grim example, in my opinion, but you cannot kill him. These ideas, they're very hard to get your head around. I understand, I know, and it's hard for me to get my head around it, too. I can only use examples that I've known from the past. So what do you guys think about it? Who wants to jump in here? I'm just curious.
What are they saying, that there are forces in effect that if you would try to kill your father, if you try to kill your father, that you would be prevented by some kind of external force?
Or What would happen, I guess, what I would say would be, okay, let's say you're one of those mischievous time travelers. You're going to go back in time and you're going to bump off your father for some sick reason, whatever it may be. What will happen is none of the scenarios will play out that way. No matter what you try to do, the scenario will just not play out that way. Something within the mechanics of this universe will prevent him from dying.
Okay. I'm just thinking of like the if a tree falls in the woods scenario, there's nobody around to see it.
Yeah,
you could go back in time and change something like that because nobody knows about it. You get my drift?
Well, what do you mean nobody knows about that?
I mean, if you were somewhere and could make a change in time, but knowing that no one else has seen the area you're going to make the change in, it wouldn't affect anybody else.
Well, yeah, it wouldn't affect anybody's lives, but it may affect other things, though, I think. Because, I mean, that's just my humanitarian side coming out, that it just isn't humans that are on this planet. We have all types of creatures on this planet. Now, let's say, for example, you do go back in time and you do level this tree, right? Now, no human beings have seen that. No human beings were present. No hunters, no anybody was there. Steve Irwin was way off in Australia somewhere. He was gone. Nobody knew what was going on, right? But
But it might affect the wildlife.
Bambi might be walking by. Bambi might be walking by, and you just flattened Bambi. How do you feel now, Tom?
Then you go back into paradox again.
Well, that you may have changed that. That's what they're saying, though. If you knew, I mean, I don't know how, that just goes into the scenario thing. There's trillions of scenarios, and you can't go, this is what's going to happen. Let's just say I went back there and said, well, Bambi's very much alive. I guess what would happen then is a scenario would keep playing out no matter what. I keep trying to knock that tree down over and over again, and Bambi would keep getting away, the stupid little sucker. She'd just keep running away. There'd be no way I'd kill Bambi. I guess because in my mind I know that she is alive and well, or he or whoever, I don't know.
Well, I get the scenario if you were to try and change something where you would actually loop back to that moment just before, you would send you back because you would not be allowed to make that change.
Who knows?
Yeah.
That's like I said, how many of us have time traveled here by a raise of hands?
Yeah, basically.
I mean, what am I doing? Well, okay, Amber said she, my Amber.
Well, she's kind of trippy anyway, though.
Yeah, she's traveled back in time, I guess. Well, how was it for you, Amber? Was it cool?
Yeah.
Did you enjoy it? Why don't you come and tell us about it then? Did you try and kill anybody?
Well, Scott's still here.
Well, basically, it comes down to this is someone's opinion.
Thank you, John, for jumping in. Go ahead.
Sorry, I'm
sorry. I'm thanking you in all sincerity because I was going to punch Tom.
Because he knows basically, that if any of us went back in time, he'd be the one we'd want to bump off. That's all.
Well, basically, it comes down to...
But hang on. No, hang on. Why would I be the one that you guys would all want to bump off?
I'm kidding. I love you, Scott.
Okay, anyway. Go ahead. I'm sorry, John.
No problem. It basically comes down to it's a scientific opinion. That's all.
Oh, yeah. You're
and,
right.
And the fact is there's so many different scientists out there that see it so many different ways. The opinions alone branches off into many different directions, and it's just what we're reading right now is just one compared to, you know, if we went back in time and, like you said, you take down the proverbial tree, you know, what's to stop you? Nothing. So you take the tree out. So mm-hmm. then the other thing comes down to, all right, let's say we went back in time, we did something, we come back. Now, would your memory be the same, or would everybody just be different because of the fact that, you know, you come back in time, yeah, you know you destroyed the tree. No one knew it was there, so you obviously didn't change the time for them, but you changed it for yourself.
But no human knew it was there. That's what I'm saying, though.
The human that took care of that tree knew, and that was the person.
That one human did.
Right.
Wouldn't it have, in my opinion, it would have to do with the whole universe, I mean, the whole universe, space and time itself. Like I said, there are millions of, I'm just talking about organisms themselves. Not even the fabric of space and time we're discussing here either. I mean, I don't even know if this makes any sense to what we're talking about right now, but I'm a firm believer in karma. I think a lot of us are firm believers in karma. I believe that if you do something, whether it's bad or good, it's going to have an effect on the rest of the universe. If it's a positive vibe that you send out, hey.
It's going to affect the entire life force. Not just us, but the entire, it's all one thing.
Uh-huh. We've seen it.
Well, yeah, I mean, here's one for you. Before we go to break, you're going to die. This is a really funny one, right? Okay. I am a firm believer in karma, like I said. And I think, Amber, I told you about this, Amber. Let's just say I was out of garbage bags. And I needed some garbage bags, right? And I was, you know, it's a long story, but I went and took some. Let's just say. It's just some garbage bags, right? I mean, it's just a few garbage bags. Big deal. You think it's going to be... And sure enough... Like, and this happens to me all the time. Whenever I do something stupid like that, the next day, usually something ridiculous happens that stresses me out to the point where I want to kill people. So, and now nowadays when this happens, especially like in the last couple of years, this particular situation is no exception. After that happened, I came home, got the garbage bags, and put them back where I found them. Now, in a weird stroke of irony, I've been doing some volunteer work for my community here.
Okay, sure.
It makes sense, believe me. A weird stroke of irony, I've been doing some volunteer work for the community here, helping out, right? And I was cleaning a shed out on Wednesday. And I'm, you know, I'm sweating, it's dirty, it's raining, it's all... And I mean, the funniest part is I'm standing in a metal shed in the middle of a thunderstorm, which I thought was... I'm thinking, about like, this is great. I mean, and the lightning comes first and the thunder, right? I found that out this week, too. I thought it was the thunder first, then the lightning. And I'm like, well, you'd have been a dead duck, Scott, because it's the other way around. But I'm in there working away. I'm sweating. I'm working hard. And guess what I come across?
What'd you get?
I come across a bunch of rolls of garbage bags. So my friend comes by, one of the people that are in charge of this project we're working on. She comes by, and I'm like, you know, hey, I'm kind of out of garbage bags. Would you mind if I grab some of these? absolutely go right ahead. There you go. You see what I'm saying? Now, it does make it makes sense to me. I don't know. Maybe people are going, okay, this guy has completely lost it. There's just a couple of garbage bags. Would you just relax for a second? But I do believe, no matter what it is, I don't care how small it is or how big it is, you do make an effect because it has to do with intention. It has to do with intention. It can be very, very small, very, very big. Material things mean nothing. It's what your intentions are. Mm-hmm. It's what your mind is doing, what you're directing your mind to do. That's what sends the vibes out there, whether they're good or bad. I have experienced it more times than I can count, and I firmly believe in that. Now, does anybody else have it? Well, Tom's grinning at me right now. What happened to you?
Well, I'm just saying, you know, you're saying if you think that we're crazy, or if it sounds crazy, then you're in good company because we're all nodding our heads in agreement because we understand.
Well, yeah. I mean, nobody's been like, oh, that's no way, Scott. That's no way that could have happened. It had nothing to do with the garbage bags whatsoever. It was just garbage bags. But I think it's a lot more than that. I think it's a lot more than that. And that's what a conscious mind does, I think. And that's what I think a lot of the stuff we talk about here is designed to make people do, is think more about things than just what they are on the surface.
Amber and I were talking about this. You know, we had our late-night coffee the other night. Talking about just, you know, when you get up in the morning, how you will set the pace of your day to your intention of what your day wants to be.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, it's from, I don't know, you've seen the movie, What the Bleep Do We Know?
Yeah. Uh-oh.
We have a call.
Let's take it. Why not? Let's take it. Go ahead. You're on Ghostly Talk.
I just want to say I support
XOPS
very strongly.
Oh, okay, cool. Who are we talking to right now? Who are we talking to?
You could tell Heidi it's Nugget. She'll know.
Oh, okay.
I worked with her on the show, actually.
Oh, okay, great. All right. Awesome. Yeah, I know. You know, thanks for calling in about that. You know, we want everybody to get involved with that and try to help out as much as possible. We've been friends with Holly for a number of years, and we're really excited to see her excel. Even if she is having, you know, this bit of a ripple in her thing, I think she's going to do very well.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I posted her on my website tonight, too. So, yeah, she's fantastic. She actually named me Nugget, so definitely put a couple of feathers in Heidi. She definitely knows what she's talking about, too.
Oh, yeah, so she does.
She's very prolific, yeah.
She completely does. Tell you, we have to go to break, though, unfortunately, when you called in. I'm sorry about it. We got to cut you off. But thank you for calling in, though. We appreciate it.
Hey, take care. Bye-bye.
Have a great night. Thank you.
You, too. Bye-bye.
Well, that was quite random. Anyways, what were you saying? I mean, what were you saying? Let's finish this thing.
You talk about karma. Well, by setting your intention at the beginning of your day,
mm-hmm.
you can affect what happens around you.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a ripple effect. And by you creating good things around yourself, you can pass it on to other people, and
mm-hmm.
then they pass it on to someone else. You know, mm-hmm. That's just my opinion. But
no, I mean, I firmly believe that. When I I fall out of bed usually, I do say to myself, okay, look, you got to get up. You know, sometimes we all know that feeling. Some days it's hard to get out of there. It's hard to get yourself going. But you got to get up. I tell people, look, you got to get up, face the day, do what you have to do. Sometimes they're not always the funnest things to do. I think you have to approach them with a positive viewpoint, though, too. I mean, and do the best you can with them. Not everybody wants to go to work. I hate going to work.
Don't we all?
Don't we all? Yeah, exactly. But, you know, you make the most out of stuff like that. Why don't we take a quick break, though? Interesting stuff. Interesting article. Legendary Times. If you guys are not subscribed to this magazine yet, I really think you should go to legendarytimes.com and set yourself up with a subscription. Giorgio Tsoukalos has been on the show before. Fascinating, fascinating person. We support his magazine. And, I mean, you guys can look at this thing after the show if you want. One article after another, just fascinating. And the one article I read was just one in a million in this magazine. Just this one episode or magazine or whatever they call it. Or what is it? Edition? Volume that they call this thing or whatever it is. It's very cool. Check it out. We're going to take a quick break, though. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Bonnie.
I'm John.
And I'm Tom.
We'll be right back after this.